Good morning. It's a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, greeted to the news of the death of former President George H.W. Bush. Alan, President Trump declared this week, Wednesday, will be a national day of mourning for the former president. He died Friday night at his home in Houston, Texas, at the age of 94. The Washington Post this morning, the headline, Alan, honorable, gracious, and decent in death, Bush becomes a yardstick for Trump.
I think that's exactly the point. Here's a guy who was decent, who sent notes to everybody, who really reached out to the heart of America. We do know that one of the great hurts in his life was the death of his 5-year-old daughter years and years ago. And talking about his death and his impending death, he said he was looking forward to meeting both Barbara and his little daughter. Extraordinary stuff. You compare that with you-know-who. Who just doesn't seem to have loyalty to anybody, who doesn't seem to care about anybody. So, you know, people like this president, but I have to say that they like him a lot more when they compare him against the present incumbent. Look, you can't have light without darkness. That's what this is all about. In any case, this was a guy who people really liked. People liked him more than his son, I think, and they saw in him a great decency. In the end days, there were stories about his inappropriately touching women in the behind, that kind of thing. But, you know, that quickly passed. And the overall impression of this man was quite terrific.
How about the trade truce with China, Alan? The markets in Asia cheered tentatively after the compromise. Your thoughts on this pause in the trade war?
Well, look, Trump knew that he was in real trouble over this. Every time it looked bad, the markets fell to the floor. Every time people got a hint that things might be better, the market went up. And Trump, who was always believing in his own efficacy as a president because of the market, whether it's his luck or whether it's Obama who did it before him and Bush before him, we don't know. All we know is that the president's advisors, Kudlow and the others, must be saying to him, hey, you better do something. So he goes, and did they work it out? No. They say they're going to work it out in the future, one of those deals. Remember when we're going to work out North Korea in the future between the leaders? But in fact, he's not imposing the 25% tariffs that were going to be up from 10%. He's saying we've gotten concessions out of them in terms of allowing American automobiles into China and other things. Okay, so let's see. I think they have something like 90 days to work it out, David. And if they don't, we'll be back to square one.
How about what's happening in France, Alan? Yellow vests, riot in Paris, the headline in the New York Times, but anger is rooted deep in rural France. We see President Macron has returned amid the turmoil, weighing a state of emergency, and these yellow jacket protests even spread to The Hague and in the Netherlands.
You know, David, one of the things that got Donald Trump elected was the idea that we need something different, which is why I've always thought that Bernie Sanders would have had a shot. Because he was different, Trump was different. The establishment bothers an awful lot of people, particularly the people you just referenced, some of the rural people, some of the people who are under or are not employed, and it creates a natural antithesis to the established order. That's what this is all about. Macron gets elected because he was different. Remember, he didn't even have a political party at the time. They said, okay, well, he says he knows what he's doing. Let's give him a chance. They gave him a chance, and the same groups who were disaffected are still disaffected. This is a worldwide phenomenon. We've seen left-wing governments being elected in Mexico, Argentina, some of these other places in which people are just desperately unhappy.
Over the weekend, on Saturday, Alan, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was elected the vice chairman of the bipartisan National Governors Association, cementing a national role for him as he enters his third term in 2019.
Not only that, David, you say he's number two governor, but since the Republicans are in control of that organization, I believe he's really number one among the Democrats, if you think about it. So for a guy who's been denying to me and to everybody else that he's not interested in the presidency, here we go.
Here we go with the congressman making a first big move. How about Anthony Brindisi, Alan? This is from Syracuse.com. The Democrat from Utica beat Claudia Tenney in a tough race. He's telling Nancy Pelosi, I won't vote for you and I'm not budging.
Well, look, that's how he ran. This guy has to be the blue dog of all blue dogs. He has to be because he won by just a few votes. There are a lot of Republicans in the district. he has seized upon this Pelosi thing. You know, David, you and I have talked many times about being in the tank or off the hook, those two terms. My bet is they have to let him off the hook to vote against Pelosi, simply because he can't be seen as breaking his word on that.
Climate conference going on in Poland, Alan, again and again and again. The issue of the climate, it's not going away.
Well, it sure isn't going away. All we have to do is to take a look at what's happened in Alaska this week. Now, I'm not saying that it's climate change that has caused that, but it's just one more nail in this horrendous number of things, terrible things that are happening. We have a friend who works for us at WAMC whose daughter was there. The building was literally collapsing around her. Her office was demolished. And thank goodness nobody died in this entire thing. But if you look at the film clips of these highways that have been torn apart and buildings which are shaken to the core, the one thing that has sort of saved Alaska is that they had a bad one back many years ago, and they decided to change all their building codes and things, and apparently that's paid off.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us as always. Alan, thank you.
And thank you, David. I really appreciate your good work at this early hour of the morning.
I enjoy our conversations.